is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife with me, Vicky.
So happy to be back with our Thrive family today. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, we're excited to continue to talk about what we think is one of the biggest things that could move your marriage in a new direction. And it's not as complicated as, oh, wow. Oh, that would cost a lot of money. Oh, that would take a ton
Great
of time.
Point, Brad. Yeah.
It's something that you're trafficking in every day. And we just want you to get a hold of, think about it more.
Uh-huh. And once again, I'll repeat my favorite verse, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Oh, and I know some of you, you just don't realize you got where you are right now by how you've been using words. And we a few shows ago, we read you from James 3, you burned it down.
Yeah, I mean, I like that in James 3 where it says, setting on fire the entire course of life. I mean, some of you, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's affecting every
area. And you don't realize it, but you're like, well, all I did was, I'm still doing these things right, and I do this right, and I do this right. But if you use words wrong, you just keep burning to the ground any good thing that begins to get root or traction. So if you could start moving in a new direction with your words, it would allow space for good things to grow.
Right.
And so in these shows, we've been talking about what are the bad seeds? You got to, because Vicky talked to you a few shows ago about, you may think it isn't growing and it's not coming. I don't see it.
Uh-huh.
It's coming.
It's coming.
The seeds you plant are going to show up. So we're trying to help you know what are the bad seeds that you want to stop sowing in your marriage. So one today is stonewalling or silence or dismissal. You know, it sounds like this. Your spouse is rolling something out, beginning to talk to you, and you just simply say, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or you say, I'm done. I've had such a day. I'm done. I'm out. You just refuse to engage at all. And here's what I want to help you understand. I can totally relate to that. Believe it or not, Brad Bigney is an introvert that can be an extrovert.
Shocking, isn't it?
But this introvert has used up his words in the course of a day as a pastor, and my preference would be to come home and not have to talk at all. That would be very unloving.
Uh-huh.
And so when you use short, clippy phrases that indicate, don't keep trying to talk to me, I'm done, I'm out, whether you realize it or not, what you're saying is you don't matter enough for me to respond.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what you're saying,
right?
By not saying anything.
Because words can wound, but so can the absence of them.
Yeah.
And I do have to admit, especially early in our marriage, I was guilty of this. I think I was just so exasperated and frustrated, not to make an excuse, but I would just shut down. And I think that's the easy way, just shutting down. But that's really not, once again, the biblical way. And Romans 12:18 comes to my mind. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So basically, practically, you have to seek to work things out in your relationships. And there really isn't a choice of this being possible if you aren't going to speak. And it's kind of like adding like a 2-year-old, I'm just shutting down, you know, or a little 3-year-old will cover their ears and just say, I'm not going to talk to you. So
probably none of you are guilty of literally putting your hands up over your ears.
Right.
But you've done it emotionally and mentally. I'm not listening.
And I do understand. I think you're frustrated. These talks never go well. But we have to speak. We have to learn to speak. And that's why today we're trying to help you. What are some ways you can make it easier for this process to go out like this? Just not an option to, I'm literally, I'm not exaggerating. I've talked to people, it's like, well, she just, when she gets her feelings hurt, she just doesn't talk for a week. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Or he. It's not just women.
I've got guys that go 3 days.
Right.
Here's what I want you to hear. You worded your way into where you are. You will have to word your way
point,
to
Brad.
A better place.
Yeah.
Silence will not, and I know in some ways, silence just avoids new pain or new angst.
And I think that is true. That's
but
what you're
we're
thinking.
Shooting for more. We want you to experience more. For you to get to a better place, you're going to have to word your way there. You're going to have to use words. So stonewalling, that's a bad seed that you want to stop planting. Another one that I think of is chronic criticism. This is not the same as the occasional needed correction.
Right.
There's no way you're going to live with each other and not have moments where you need to say, honey, could I get your help on something? When you... But I mean a pattern of criticism makes a marriage feel like constant evaluation instead of partnership, team, partnership, team. Because I hope you've heard, we brought it to you multiple shows, a chronic pattern of criticism sounds like you're above them. My main job is to give you a report card on everything you're doing. Why aren't you doing this more with the boys? You should be doing this with the boys, and you should, and you didn't, and you. It's like, and a husband can do it to his wife, and a wife can do it to her husband, and it will not cause you to feel like you're going to thrive. Think about how you relate to each other. On any given day, ask God to give you greater clarity. At the end of the day, when it thus settles, the bulk of your words were what? Would it feel like, you know, even in the marketplace, we've got those occasional, whether it's a quarterly review or an annual review or all of the above, where you're being evaluated based on these were the expectations. How did you do?
Right.
If your marriage starts to feel like, I feel like I'm getting a weekly, if not daily, evaluation and critique on what I'm doing, they will take steps away from you.
Yeah, and I really think as wives, I mean, I can only speak because I am a wife, I think in our minds sometimes we think, well, how am I going to get them to change and be the man I want unless I tell them all the ways they're failing? I mean, basically, we both did this early on in our marriage, and we both just hated it. We basically hated each other, so it just doesn't work.
I mean, hear
criticism
me.
Criticism doesn't
you
work.
You will never criticize your spouse into a new and better place.
No. In fact, a lot of times I think, you want me to do that, or you don't want me to? You want me to stop doing that? That's the last thing I want to do, just to spite them because they're so ticked off at you.
I mean, I'll tell an ugly little story about my own heart when ours was bad, and maybe I've said it before, but again, it's like I so remember it. She put out on the coffee table "What Wives Wish Their Husbands Understood About Women" by James
How
Dobson.
Did that, go?
That so ticked me off, and I just thought to myself, I will never ever read that. I don't want to read that. Because even that...
Still hasn't to this day,
even that,
folks.
You guys, if you're listening...
Probably for
that
the
best. Was not words.
Yeah.
But was it criticism? Now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, no, I meant to be helpful, let me help you. Uh-huh. That's not how your spouse hears that or receives that. Like, you know, I found myself thinking, let me lay a book out there. What husbands wish their wives understood about husbands. We could all play that game.
Yeah.
You do not want your marriage to begin to feel like... It's being lived under the microscope of constant evaluation and criticism. When's the last time you said, honey, you know what I appreciate about you? I appreciate the way you, how you.
And that's it. You don't go on to tell them what you don't like.
Oh, listen, if you think, if you right now are saying, no, I'm encouraging. If your sentence goes on to say, but I really would. They didn't even hear the encouragement.
Yeah.
Stop saying you say encouraging things to them. If it's always coupled with a but and you go on to add what they could have done better, you did not encourage, you criticized again. Oh, don't let it happen in your marriage. What's another negative seed that really is growing destructive weeds and you're eating bad fruit?
Well, one of the worst bad seeds you could sow is any kind of threatening language.
Ooh,
you know, just you throw these zingers out like, maybe I should just leave, or I can find someone better in the neighborhood or at work. You know, basically, you're also, the problem is you're saying these things to yourself, and that's what got you here, or I'm going to divorce you.
What you keep thinking you will begin to say.
Yeah.
So you've been thinking that long before it comes out of your mouth. I should just leave.
Right.
I could find someone better. You've been thinking to yourself, I could find someone better.
But and even if not meant literally, these threats, they destabilize security.
Yeah. You hear what Vicky just said. Even if you do not really mean it, literally.
You just shouldn't say it.
It destabilizes security in your, especially the D word.
Yeah.
I'm just going to divorce you.
I mean, literally from day one, we just said, even when things were horrific, and let me tell you, they were horrific.
Yeah.
We were so far apart from each other, but we just said, we will never use that word.
By God's grace, Vicky did use that word. But she actually used the D word, and she said this to me. Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, standing in the doorway of our mobile home.
It was a death word, let me tell you.
As I'm about to leave choir practice. Again,
this was not life-giving.
We all remembered painful moments. She has Bill Fogarty telling her why it's okay that she's small. I had this, but I did appreciate it. She said, I don't love you anymore, but I'm not going to divorce you. Because we're both Christians. That's the only time, I'm pretty sure that's the only time the D word's been used. So I knew, Archie's not going to divorce
me. Good point. Yeah, we have used it once.
But it did get my attention. I was like, wow, is it that bad? Yep. Oh, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to keep trying to help you understand. It's not just, are you sowing the right kind of seeds in your marriage? If you keep sowing the wrong seeds, they'll choke out good seeds, and you will eat bad fruit. We'll be back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. They're naming the bad seeds that choke a marriage out. And there are a lot of those, honestly. And some of those things are things that you don't even recognize and realize. Now, here's something about Thrive that might be easy to miss. This might be the first time that you've ever listened to Thrive. You also could be a regular listener to Thrive. Either way, do you realize and know that it reaches you and your ears for free? There's no subscription fee. There's nothing like that. It's not hidden behind a paywall because all of the content we're creating at Fortis Institute is for free. Everything we do is open to everyone because someone covers the cost. And they're not sponsors. They're actually a group of regular men and women, regular Christians, just like you. And they've decided that the content we're creating needs to keep reaching more people all over the world. And so they've decided to reach into their pockets and join us. We call them gospel partners, and the arrangement's pretty simple. They give so that we can continue giving truth. And that also might be you. If you've ever been impacted by something you've heard here at Fortis Institute and you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, make sure that you're giving to your local church, number one. And number two, make sure it wouldn't be a burden for you. And if those two areas are looking pretty good, then I want to send you to fortisinstitute.org right now, because that's where you'll find all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what this would look like in your life. fortisinstitute.org. And while you're out there on the internet, make sure you download Fortis Plus. That's our mobile app. It's our distribution hub. That's where all of the content we're creating actually lives. That's how it gets from us to you. And it's free as well. Just make sure that you download it so it's a regular part of your life. You can download it from the App Store, where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back. We're talking about talking because the Bible makes so much of it. What's coming out of your mouth is affecting your marriage. What's coming out of your mouth has brought you to where you are. And some of you, according to James chapter 3, are standing on what looks like a charred piece of land. It's just been burned. And as soon as little things grow back up, it seems like there's a new fire that starts that just burns it down. You're like, how are we going to get off this?
Right.
Well, we got to do better at not starting little fires. And they start with our mouth. You might think, all I said was. So we're walking through some of the bad seeds that get thrown down in the bed of our marriage. that can really, really keep it from thriving. Another one that I think of is public disrespect with our words. Let me help you as much as possible correct each other or talk through what you're not liking privately.
Always.
Always.
This is the word, we can actually use the word always. Yes. Always on this one.
Always. There's never an appropriate time to publicly talk through or correct your spouse or certainly belittle your spouse. We were pretty good, don't you think, honey? Even not in front of the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because to me,
you've gone to a new bad place if now you don't even care. You're just bringing it in front of the kids.
Right. I mean, we would always, if we had a disagreement, we would be behind closed doors quietly talking about it, never in front of them. Because we want to be a united front, especially in those teen years. We want to come as a united front, even though we may not. It takes us a while to get on the same page, but we want to talk behind closed doors.
That's right.
About it. Usually it was about them, and then come back out, because that's going to give them security to see my parents are in agreement. They're not constantly bickering or arguing. If you're doing that in front of your kids, you need to really repent and ask God to help you put some new things in place.
Because your relationship is the primary one.
Right.
That's the one flesh relationship.
And when they see all that, that makes them feel insecure. I mean, sorry. I mean, kids are going to be thinking, are my parents going to separate? Are they going to divorce? And that's not healthy for them.
And there's just no place for it to say, well, you know your mother, and you're siding with a teenager or a kid or
putting them in the
kitchen.
Yeah.
You may differ, but you should differ privately and see if you can work your way towards a better place.
You will differ.
And you might think this is a win. That is not good for your child to see that you guys are so on a different page there. And you're not supposed to be winning the allegiance of your spouse to your side. You're supposed
to
be
your child.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You're not supposed to win the allegiance of your child to your side.
That's not your goal.
Again, even when you feel the desire to do that, that shows you've got a wrong motive. You're wanting to win. And
great
you say,
point, Brad.
If right now in front of her, I could show her that he thinks what I think, my daughter thinks what I think, I win.
Right.
Guess what? It's not a win.
Yeah.
You are damaging your marriage if publicly you differ with your spouse. Don't hear us saying you can't ever have differences.
Yeah.
Do not have them publicly, even in front of your kids. Because here's what it does. That is humiliating. That is belittling. And it, once again, it's, I'm above you. And it really, you need to realize, it sows seeds of deep resentment.
Yeah.
That person may be really quiet, but you just sowed a seed that hurt. They feel really, really dishonored by the fact how that went down. And it's going to breed resentment, which again, they're going to take steps back away from you.
Even like joking at your spouse's expense. If you're out with another couple and you're talking about, you know, how she cleans the house or whatever she does, that it's just not, there's not a place for that. And we've kind of talked about that in previous shows. I think another one is keeping score in words. Like, wow, this is so big. I mean, I think every couple, I think, has struggled with
you
this.
You hear it a lot, don't you?
I do way more than you. You know, who's doing the most? And we're going to have tit for tat.
Yeah.
That's just a landmine for your relationship. Because, you know, it just, there's so many different varying factors. And I do feel bad for you if you have a lazy, selfish spouse. But, I mean, that's just going to really hurt your relationship. You're going to have to talk through, okay, who's doing what? Who's, I mean, you're going to have to talk through these things, but it is very hard when you just feel like one person's constantly saying, I do more than you do. Because there's so, once again, there's many different factors. Obviously, you were the main breadwinner in our home. I was home. So in some ways, obviously, yes, I'm going to be doing more in our home as far as laundry, meals, groceries, setting doctor's appointments, taking kids places. You're at work. You're 14 miles away.
Yeah.
You can't help me do that.
Yeah.
So, but once again, so it's just something you need to work through and talk through.
Because what Vicky is pointing out, words always reveal a mindset and a heart. If your words sound like there's a scorecard, that doesn't sound like friendship and intimacy.
No.
That just alienates you. Just
and
think,
it's like saying, and I think this, we did do this early on. I have it harder than you because I'm living at the trailer with two kids and no money. And you're like, well, I have it harder.
Who's doing the most?
No.
But we did play has it the hardest.
And we tried to convince the other one of, I have it harder. Yeah. And I'm not sure what the point was. Like, who cares who has it harder?
But it didn't draw us together.
No, it didn't draw us together.
You know, I was in seminary full time. I was working 3 part-time jobs.
Yeah.
But, whoa, she's in a mobile home with 2 little
single wide folks.
Huh?
Single wide.
Yeah. Let's be clear. There was one double wide across the street that had a tilted.
It was the envy
roof.
Of all the people.
I mean,
in the village.
We just thought, oh wow, look
to
at the double wide with
trailer.
The higher ceiling. We were in a single wide mobile home, but that's where she was. With a car that didn't half run, and we had no health care. She's trying to haul the kids down to the government building for WIC, women, infant, cheese.
Very humiliating.
You know, having to get free shots because we can't take them to a doctor. When she gets a sinus infection, we can't go to the doctor because you don't have money for an antibiotic. So we were both guilty of, at the end of a given day, who just had the hardest day.
Right.
And it will not draw you closer together.
No.
So just try to banish scorecard-sounding language.
And I think, too, just remember, which really was a huge turning point for me, God's Holy Spirit lives within me. Whatever He's called me to do, He'll give me the grace to do and start running to Him and say, Jesus, help me through this day. Help me as I'm taking this child here. And that really made a huge difference in me. It just, my joy, instead of being dependent on what you did or didn't do, my joy was tied to Jesus, which is constant, His steadfast love, His mercies new every morning. That really was a game changer for me and helped me get out of this mindset of who's doing the most. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Run to Jesus, ask Him to help you, do what you're supposed to do. And it's basically maturity. Yeah. Basically, you just have to grow up and do hard things.
Yep.
I know that sounds harsh, but it's true.
But we want to help you. And sometimes pain can move you to a better place. Just like when you get surgery. Ooh, this is going to hurt. And then the rehab hurts, but you're at a better place. Some of this may feel foreign to you, painful to you, awkward. Even sometimes people will say to me in counseling, well, that just feels awkward. Well, sure it does, because you don't have a habit of doing that.
Right.
Do not pull back from what you don't know, calling it awkward and saying, well, that's just not who I am.
It doesn't feel right. Yeah.
You can form new habits. And
one of
the most important places to form them is words.
Mm-hmm. Keep doing it until it doesn't feel awkward.
Keep doing it till it doesn't
feel
awkward.
We like that phrase.
Let me give you one more bad seed that you've got to stop sowing and wondering, wow, how did we get here? And it is harsh startups. Think about how often we enter into a conversation, a subject, an issue, a beginning point of talking to your spouse. But I want you to think about it. How did it begin?
Right.
I hope you realize
very important
how a conversation starts often determines how it ends.
Yeah, it just kind of sets the tone for the whole
conversation. Did it start harsh? Did it start feeling like a tossed grenade?
Right.
Did it start feeling like I'm talking down, I'm being talked down to?
Mm-hmm.
This person's above me. That will never, ever cause it to go well. So you just want to push off the table conversations that begin that sound like an accusation or an attack. You never listen. What is wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
You did it again.
Yeah.
You did it again tonight. And we were guilty of it.
Yeah, we were.
That she would, towards the end of, you know, we're trying to get in bed, there'd be something she'd want to talk to me about and something I'd done. And I was wrong. But the way it began wasn't helpful. You did it again. And so I know we've told you many times, feel free to lock on to it and see if it works for you. We are decades into beginning conversations by, honey, could I get your help on something? And even as I say that, did you just tense up, babe?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hate we to hear both, those words.
We both know what that means. She wants to talk to me about something.
Uh-huh.
He wants to talk to me about something, but it's a better way to start with a kind.
Start gently.
Consider, how are you starting conversations? We're talking about bad seed. Oh, you don't want threatening language. You don't want public disrespect. You don't want language that always sounds like a scorecard. And you do care about how these conversations begin. God wants to help us. God's ready to help us.
Uh-huh.
And by God's grace, Brad and Vicky are saying, oh, we're beggars telling other beggars where we got help. God helped us.
He did. He still does every day.
It's not just past
even
it.
This morning.
God helped us, and He is helping us. He'd love to help you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.